good morning, everyone. How are we doing? We're good? All right. Well, thank you all so much for being here this morning. I know it's like the perfect morning to like open windows and just stay in bed. But you all are faithful, man. I'm so proud of you. Way to get up. Way to get out of bed. A couple people are like, man, I'm trying to figure out how I can do this thing remotely. Not naming any names in the back, but you know, they're trying to get the technology all up to par so they can just operate this stuff from home, right? No, but seriously, thank you all so much for being here and worshiping with us here at Life Point Church and hanging out with us. Man, it's a great day. I just lost my pin cap. That's awesome. Well, hopefully I don't write on myself today. So, but thank you all for being here. Today, we are continuing on with our current series called The Mask. And if this is your first week here in a few weeks, or maybe your first week period, in this series, what we've been doing is we've been talking about how all of us, every single one of us, man, we're basically pros at wearing masks. I mean, we're good at it, especially if you grew up in the church. I'm telling you, you are big time pro. But we're pros at wearing masks, basically pretending to be something or someone that we're not, putting on that false outward show to impress somebody or to make ourselves feel better or whatever it may be. And what we've been doing in this series is we're asking God to help us to drop that mask, because wearing the mask isn't healthy. It's not good for you. It's not good for the people around you. If you are a Christ follower and you're on mission to try to reach as many people with the good news of Christ as possible, and you're wearing a mask, it's not good. It's not productive, and it's exhausting. So we're looking at Scripture, and we're exploring what we can do to drop that mask, because it's not easy. It's really not. So in week one, we talked about how many of us aren't really honest with where we're at with God, right? So we put up the mask, and we really attempt to try and hide from God. If you were here week one, you heard me tell the story about playing hide and go seek with my kids, and Amelia, you know, when she was a lot younger, went and hid underneath like the doormat, like that was a good hiding place or whatever, and there's a big old like human underneath it. It was a failed attempt to hide, and when we try to hide from God, it's pretty much the same thing. It's like you're under the floor mat. It's not a good attempt. So we talked about that in week one. Last week we talked about self-deception, right? How sometimes we wear a mask for so long that we deceive ourselves and we don't even know who we are anymore. Or we don't even realize that we're wearing a mask. We think we're not, when in fact, we are. So that self-deception piece. And if you missed either one of those messages, you can go back and check those out on our podcast, on our website, online. But today, I want to start off by asking you a very, very simple question. I think you all could answer it very, very quickly. And it's this: how many of you, by show of hands, have done something wrong? Ken is pondering. Yeah, right, we all have. Now, how many of you, in doing something wrong, have made an attempt to cover that up? Right, try to cover it up, you try to hide that thing, right? Maybe it's, how many of you have ever tried to cover it up with a lie or being dishonest? And then how many times did that lead to another lie? And another. And another, right? Yes, exactly. And it's because when we screw up, right, when we do something wrong, we are so tempted to just cover it up, to hide it, right? That's what, it comes natural to us. It's our first thing, typically, that comes into our head. When we screw up, we're like, okay, how am I going to cover this up? How am I going to hide this? How am I going to make sure that no one else knows? So today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how we put on a mask and we hide our sin. Many of you this morning are attempting to hide your sin. And it becomes exhausting. For example, this is kind of I wouldn't say this is sin, but it's just an example. Many, many years ago, I was saving money to buy Jen a new wedding ring. And it was, I was actually buying it from a family member. It was a ring that was in our family for a really, really long time. It was a gorgeous ring. But, you know, we have a shared bank account, so that's kind of challenging, right? So I'm like taking like cash and saving it in this safe I have, like just kind of randomly. I'm just moving money. I'm like, you know, behind the scenes, I'm making deals, you know. And I mean, I did this for probably close to a year. And, you know, and Jim was like, well, where did this money go? I'm like, I don't know. Don't worry about that. It's all good. Oh, I did this. So, like, in reality, I was kind of telling these little white lies to cover up the fact that I was, you know, making money, you know, over here and hiding it and doing all these different things. And it's an innocent mask that I was wearing, and it was for a good end result, and she was okay with that in the end, because she has a nice ring on her finger. But it was hard. It was exhausting. It was like I had to cover my tracks constantly, and it was, I did a good job, but it was tough. And it's the same thing that we do when we screw up, and it's the same result. It's exhausting. You always got to be working on your toes. You got to be thinking about this and that, and how do I cover this and how do I cover that? Then we become so focused on covering our sin that we're not moving forward at all. And it's really exhausting. Anyways, here's the deal when it comes to hiding your sin. When you do something wrong, right? When you screw up, when you sin, you really have one of two choices. You have one of two choices how you're going to respond. And the first one is what we've been talking about. The first choice that you can make when you do something wrong is to conceal your sin, right? You hide it. You cover it up. And again, that's very natural for us. And it's nothing new. We see this when you, if you open up the Bible, the book of Genesis, the very beginning, the first thing you're going to start reading about is Adam and Eve. And it's a cover-up, right? It's a sin cover-up. God told them both, you can eat from any tree in the garden, any fruit, anything, except this one, right? Don't touch that one. Then the serpent comes along, tells Eve, like, yeah, did God really say that? You know, you could probably go ahead and eat from that. So she ate from it, right? She took the bait, she ate of it, and she took it to Adam, and he's like, cool, awesome, let's do this, and he ate it too. And then God came around, and the first thing that they did was hide, to cover it up. It was the very first thing. The very first sin resulted in an attempt to conceal their sin. They put on the mask, right? And then the very next story is of Cain and Abel, right? And Cain was jealous because Abel's offering was accepted by God, and his wasn't. So he did the unthinkable, right? I mean, he totally lost it, and he went out, and he actually murdered his brother, his very own brother. And then the result was, I'm going to cover it up. God's like, hey, where's your brother? And he's like, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know. He's covering it up. He's putting on a mask. He's concealing what he did. And then in Genesis 37, we know the story of Joseph, right? Joseph has this dream that he's going to be this great leader one day. And then he tells this to his brothers, and of course, and he's, you know, little guy, and they're like, no, that ain't happening. And so they're jealous of this, and they're worried about this, so they cook up a scheme, right? And they said, okay, we're going to take him out into this pit. And they did, and then they sold him into slavery, and they're like, well, he's gone. And then they start to think about it like, oh man, what's dad going to say? How are we going to fix this? So then they have to cook up another scheme, right? And so they're like, okay, let's get his coat, you know, his coat, and we're going to dip it in some goat's blood, and then we're going to take it to dad and be like, dad, we found this. We don't know what happened. I guess he got eaten by, you know, some wild animal. This is just terrible, right? They lied. It was a cover-up. Their immediate reaction was to conceal their sin. I mean, right there, the first, you know, book of the Bible, we see all these examples of covering up our wrongdoings. So when we do something wrong, again, we have one of two choices. The first thing, which is our natural thing, is that we can conceal our sin. But the other thing that we can do is we can choose to confess our sin. A little more difficult, because that means we got to take ownership. It means we have to be exposed. We can confess our sin. So which one's right? Which one is the one that we should do? And I think each of you here are rather smart. And with your head knowledge, you know exactly which one we're supposed to do. But in case you're struggling with that and you just don't want to admit to that, let me go ahead and read Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. And we're going to come back to this scripture several times throughout our time and teaching this morning. So Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." Those who conceal, they don't prosper. They're stagnant. They're stale. They're not going anywhere. Typically, they're creating more issues for themselves and for those around them. But the one that confesses, man, they find mercy. They find forgiveness. They find hope and healing. And today, many of you, man, you're here and you're going to be confronted with your sin. You're going to be confronted with your wrongdoing. And God's going to reveal that to you. And you have, again, one of two choices. You can conceal it, throw on the mask, or you can confess it. Choice is yours. Only you can make that decision. But I hope that you make the right one. And I get it. I know it's terrifying to think about confessing your sin, your wrongdoing, to being fully exposed, like putting it out there, like this is what I did, or this is what I've done, or this is what my struggle is. I mean, it could be absolutely terrifying. You know, if you think about, well, if I say that, well, what are they going to think about me? Are they still going to love me? Are they still going to think that I'm a good person? Are they ever going to trust me again? What are the people in the church going to say? What are the people in my Bible study or small group going to say? What are the people that you know that are in my life maybe that don't know Christ, what are they going to think? I mean, it's terrifying. It brings up all these different questions. But the choice is yours. And we see clearly from Scripture what the right decision is. So what choice will you make? Will you conceal and throw up the mask, or will you confess? My man, King David in the Old Testament, man, he faced this very same dilemma, this very same question. Right, so if you know the story of David, there's a lot of stories of David in Scripture that we know about. You know, David and Goliath. We have all these different these stories. However, I want us to check out this story of a time that he was faced with an issue. He was faced with a dilemma. He was faced with a temptation, and how he made a series of poor decisions, and then in an attempt to conceal and cover up, he made even more poor decisions. Just like many of us do. We get tripped up by temptation and we give in, and then it snowballs out of control. So let's go ahead and check out 2 Samuel chapter 11, starting in verse 1. The scripture says this. It says, "In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war." So remember, we're talking about King David, right? So he is supposed to be going out to war at this point in time. "In the spring, at the time when the kings go off to war, David sent Joab out with the king's men and the whole Israelite army. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem." So he didn't go. He stayed. He remained in Jerusalem. And check this out. One evening, David got up from his bed and walked around on the roof of the palace. So he just took a stroll. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful. So he's in a situation at this point in time, right? And was this his screw up? That he walked up to the roof of the palace and was just taking a nightly stroll and happens to see a woman bathing, presumably naked. That's typically how people bathe. Was that his screw up? No, that wasn't. If he would have responded in a way where he's up there walking and he sees it, it's like, oh, there's a woman, and then walks back inside and is like, hey, woo, done with that. Guards go, like, let her know that she probably needs to do that elsewhere. Or I just need to block off my roof and not go up there anymore. No, that wasn't the issue. The Hebrew word that translates as saw here is ra'ah, and it means to look and to look intensely. So he didn't just see it and go, whoa, snap, let's go inside. No, he spent some time. He was looking intensely. He was gazing, which obviously turned to lust. Verse 3, and David sent someone to find out about her. So not only now is he looking, but now he's taking it a step further. He's trying to find out some more about this woman. So he sent someone to find out about her. And the man said, she is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam and the wife of Uriah the Hittite. In other words, he's like, King David, like, all due respect, she's off limits. She's not yours. She's married, right? Uriah's. But David wasn't hearing it. Verse 4. And David sent messengers to get her. She came to him, and he slept with her. Then she went back home. The woman conceived and sent word to David saying, I'm pregnant. This escalated very quickly. Right? I mean, this is King David, a man after God's own heart. He's not a wicked, wicked, terrible man. This is David we're talking about, that we celebrate, that we look at. And made some very poor decision. He wakes up, takes a stroll on the rooftop. Then after a series of events happens, he finds himself in a pretty disastrous situation. But see, that's how sin works. That's how, when we screw up, when we do things wrong, that's how it works. When I was a teenager, my youth pastor used to always tell us that sin will take you further than you ever wanted or intended to go. That's just what it does. It takes you further than you ever wanted to go. And again, it's a series of events. For David, this is how it happens. Is King David was originally not where he was supposed to be, right? Because this said at the time that the kings went off to war, but yet he stayed back. So he was somewhere that he wasn't supposed to be. And when he was somewhere he wasn't supposed to be, he saw something that he wasn't supposed to see, right? And this led to him doing something that he wasn't supposed to do. And it cost him far more than he ever planned or ever wanted. Sin took him farther than he ever wanted to go. And if this happens with King David, this happened to him, man, it could happen to us very quickly. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And you see, and when we screw up, when we do something wrong, again, we have a choice to make. Do we conceal it or do we confess it? And again, many times we conceal it. We put on the mask. Sometimes because our wrongdoings are kind of embarrassing, right? Like I think if we, you know, blasted out everyone's wrongdoing that's sitting in here right now over the past few years, some of you would be incredibly embarrassed. Others, you know, we conceal it because we're afraid of intense judgment from Christians. Is awful, which really actually really ticks me off. It really is super frustrating to me, because that's why so many people bail on the church and run away from God because of Christians who want to point the finger and want to shout at someone or get on Facebook and rattle off how holy they are and how terrible you are. And all that does is create this environment for somebody to put on a mask, be a fake, and conceal their sin. It's a cover-up. And this is what David did. Again, he's very much like you and I. He realized he was in a bad situation. And so, what does he do? Well, he's got to come up with a plan. He's got to figure out the cover-up. So he's like, okay, plan A. I'm going to bring Uriah, her husband, Bathsheba's husband, back from war. And then I'm going to, you know, put them together. And then he's been out to battle. He'll come back. You know, they'll have some time together. And, you know, they'll have that quality time behind closed doors. And then she'll be like, hey, I'm pregnant. And he'll think it's his. And he'll be like, hey, I'm having a baby and all will be well. It's a lie after lie after lie, right? So he schemes up this plan and brings Uriah back. But, man, he's a man of honor. And he's like, I appreciate this, but I'm not going to spend time with my wife in that manner while all of my men are out there battling. I just can't do that. And so David's like, man, all right, plan B. If that doesn't work, if I can't get him to do that, it's time to get him a little tipsy, right? Because if he gets a little tipsy and I get him a little drunk, then he's probably for sure going to go have some of that quality time with his wife. So he does that. And still, he's honorable. He's like, no, I'm not going there. So plan C escalates. He's freaking out. Like, he doesn't know what else to do. I've got to cover this up. I can't let anyone know what I did. So plan C was, he sends Uriah out to the front lines of battle, where it's the most intense, violent. He sends him out to the front line, and once he's out there at the very front, he says, hey, pull everyone else back so that he would get struck down and killed in battle. That's what he did. And I don't know what else to say, but it's terrible. I mean, that's completely awful. Like, what would possess someone to do that? It was a cover-up. It's a sin mask he's wearing because he's concealing it. He doesn't want anyone to know. So if that means lie after lie or after terrible thing, I've got to do whatever it takes to keep this covered up. I have to conceal this sin. And in the end, like I said, it costs you more than you ever wanted to pay. And it takes you further than you ever wanted to go. We cover it up. Man, I don't want to get caught. I don't want to be found out. I don't want them to know that this was me. I don't want them to know. So plan A, I'm gonna go back and delete all the history on my computer. Or I'm going to delete those texts that I shouldn't be sending to that other person. Right? I'm going to get rid of all the evidence of all those bags of chips that I've been, you know, throwing down that I shouldn't be doing because it's just not healthy for me. Or I'm going to get rid of all these bottles so they don't know that I'm drinking again. Cover it up. Plan B, we just lie. No, it wasn't me. I didn't do that. I don't know what you're talking about. Or plan C, we pass the blame. Yeah, that was me, but the only reason I did that was because of you. If you would have done X, Y, and Z, then I wouldn't have had to have done this. I wouldn't even been in the position to do this. So really, it's your fault. Disappointed in you. Shame, shame on you. We conceal it. And then it's lie after lie after lie, kind of cover our tracks to hide our sin. But remember, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper. But the one who confesses finds mercy, healing, forgiveness. But ultimately, when we try to conceal our sin, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I know I have plenty of times. When I'm trying to conceal it and I'm wearing my mask, God always has a way of uncovering it, right? And typically, when we're trying to conceal it and it's uncovered, it's like sometimes like at the like the worst timing. When we could have just taken control of our situation and said, here's where it is. But God will reveal it. Jesus let us know this. In Luke chapter 8, verse 17, it says, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. And then back in the Old Testament, in Numbers 32, 23, it says, but if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sins will find you out. That's a great passage, a great truth. Now, I will say that was kind of beat over my head a little bit as a kid. Be sure your sin will find you out, you know. But it's the truth. When you attempt to conceal amongst all your efforts and how exhausting it is for you to wear that mask constantly, be sure that it will be found out. It could be weeks, months, even years, decades, but it's going to be made known. And in the meantime, you will not prosper. You'll be stale, stagnant, exhausted, beat down, miserable. Your physical health will suffer. Your mental health will definitely suffer because you're holding on to this thing. But the great news is that if we confess, our good God is faithful and just and will forgive us. He will give us mercy and grace because he loves us. And he loves you. And he loves you so much that he may have brought you here this morning to be confronted with a specific wrongdoing. And he may be speaking that to you today. And he's brought you here for that very purpose, for you to be confronted with it. And this is what we see God doing for David. Right? In 2 Samuel chapter 12, we see how God confronts him. And he sends Nathan the prophet to do that. And for sake of time, we're not going to read all of 2 Samuel chapter 12. You're welcome. But I encourage you to go back and check that out. But when you look at the very first verse, the first verse of this chapter says, the Lord sent Nathan to David. He sent someone to confront him, to make it known, to help him to see that. See, David was a little bit self-deceived, like we talked about yesterday. So, quick recap, the first part of chapter 12. So Nathan comes and he says, David, I'm going to tell you a story. He said, I'm going to tell you a story about two different men. So there's a man that's super rich. Like, he's very wealthy. He's rich. He has, I mean, so many lambs. Like, you can't count them all. I mean, there's lambs everywhere. I mean, that's just how rich he is. I mean, he's got lambs everywhere. Rich. He's loaded. But then there's also this poor guy, right? And all he has is one little lamb. And he and his kids, they raised this lamb as a pet, right? That lamb ate with them, and they held him, and it was dear to their family. It was their only lamb. And then so this traveler comes along, and the rich man, and the traveler's hungry, right? And so the rich man's like, okay, well, we need to feed this traveler. And so the rich guy leaves all of his many, many lambs. He's just got tons of them everywhere. He just lets them all be. And then he goes to this poor guy and says, give me your lamb. He takes the poor guy's lamb and he kills it. And he uses that to feed this traveler. And so he's telling David this story. And David, man, he kind of snaps. He's like, man, this is the worst thing I've ever heard. He says, that's terrible. Like, this rich man deserves to die. And he needs to pay back this, you know, this poor guy, like, just over and over again with just all the sheep he can send him. Because that's awful, and he deserves punishment. He deserves death. He doesn't deserve to live for what he did. It's just awful, man. He's frustrated. And then Nathan, man, he drops a truth bomb to him and says, he said, David, king, you are this man. That's you. It's exactly what you did. He confronted him with his sin. He made it known. He's like, you've sinned against God. And it's time for you to drop the mask, confess it, to own what you did. Stop covering it up. Stop acting like it didn't happen. Remove the mask and confess. See, the Lord sent Nathan to David because God loved him, wanted what was best for him. And maybe you're here today and God is confronting you, or he's going to send somebody to confront you and say, man, it's time to stop wearing the mask, and it's time to confess. So the difficult question that I want to ask you is, what are you concealing? What are you covering up? Where are you hiding? What are you hiding? You got two choices. You can continue to conceal it, or you can confess. Maybe for you, it's that you're addicted to pornography. I know I talk about that in a lot of examples, but I'm telling you, I promise you, in the size of this, you know, congregation right here, people sitting in here, to say that somebody is not dabbling in or addicted to pornography, is the odds are against us. And we as a church should be standing up with each other and supporting and helping each other, not judging each other. But maybe that's what you're concealing. You need help. You need another Christ follower to stand with you, encourage you, and say, I got your back. I'm here for you. It's time to confess that and be set free. Begin to move forward. Or maybe for you, man, it's a substance abuse issue, or you're addicted to alcohol or prescription pills or something else, or whatever it may be. And you need to confess that. You need to get that right. You need to go get some help. Or maybe for you, it's you're constantly overspending because you have some void in your life, and the only thing that you can think that you know of that fills that void for you is just to buy more and more and more things. Even though you know you're broke as a joke, and you're going deeper into debt and deeper into debt, and you're destroying your current and future finances, which again plays into your physical and mental health. But you're just overspending constantly, and you're covering it up with a mask, like, no, it's all good. I got that. Or maybe you're lying, like, I don't have any debt, and you're sitting on like $50,000 of debt for retail stores. But you're covering it up. Whoever conceals does not prosper, but whoever renounces and confesses finds mercy. And I want to encourage you today to be bold enough to begin to confess. Stop covering up and start confessing. Full confession, not partial. See, full confession consists of, for a Christ follower, consists of confessing to two different places for two totally different reasons and purposes. So as we close and wrap this thing up, I want to share these two things with you. So first, the way that we're going to confess, and this is one that we honestly tend to do a little better at as Christ followers, is the first thing is that we confess to God for forgiveness. Right? So we're going to confess our sins and our wrongdoings to God, and we're going to do that for forgiveness. 1 John, it says that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're called to confess to God for forgiveness, to seek forgiveness. Psalms 51 is this beautiful prayer that David, he cries out after this sin, right? He's crying out to God in confession finally. Psalms 51, starting in verse 1, he says, David says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. And forgive me. Remove this sin. Forgive me for this. Blot this out of my life. Wash away, verse 2, wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. He's like, man, I've screwed up big time, God. and I'm asking you to forgive me. I know I did wrong. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Blot this out. And then in verse 10, he says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. He's saying, God, I need you. Don't leave me. I know I've messed up. Forgive me, but don't leave me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I mean, this is confession. I messed up and I need you. Forgive me. Just wipe this sin away and don't leave me. Like, I need you now more than ever. I get that. I understand that. I need you. I need your spirit. I need your strength. And most importantly, I need your mercy and grace and forgiveness. Some of you, you need to cry out to God like this. Maybe at one point in time, you were super connected and close to God, and your relationship with him was thriving, and you were moving forward, and you were having wins, and you were reaching people, and things were positive, and they were moving forward, but something's changed. And you feel distant from God. You feel disconnected. And maybe for you, that thing is that there's sin in your life that you've not confessed. And you're allowing that to create this barrier, this wall between you and God, and it's time to break that down. Move past that. Confess. God, blot out this sin and restore to me the joy of my salvation. Don't leave me. I need you. We need to confess to God for forgiveness. And again, while this is difficult at times, sometimes it's tough to approach God and say, I did this thing. Even though he knows, we're trying to hide under this, you know, little rug over here. But he knows. Even though that's difficult at times, that's, for us as people, that's the easy part. See, because the other piece of confession is that we need to confess to people. We need to confess to God for forgiveness, but we also need to confess to people for healing. And that's not always easy. That's difficult. But we are called to confess to people and receive healing. James says it like this in James chapter 5, verse 16. He says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Confess your sin, pray for each other so that you can receive healing. So this is how this has happened for me personally whenever I've had the boldness and the courage to step up and confess to people. Typically, I know what I need to do, so I go to them. And that whole journey and going to them, whether I have to drive somewhere, call someone up, dial up the phone, or whoever it is, I'm full of fear, anxiety. I'm nervous. I'm full of guilt. I don't know how they're going to respond, and it's kind of scary. But as soon as those words come out of my mouth, man, like this burden is just lifted off my shoulders. I feel like I'm free for the first time in a long time. Regardless of what the outcome is, I know that I've done the right thing in that situation. And it's out there. The mask is removed. And the exhaustion of hiding and concealing and trying to constantly cover it up is no longer necessary. Because it's been laid out there. Healing comes as a part of that. Plus, if you don't confess to people, especially that person that you wronged, it's impossible for you to truly heal that relationship or heal whatever that scenario or situation is. Because it takes two or three or however many is involved to be able to move forward with that. There's healing in that. Not only for the scenario and the situation, but for you personally. Because you're set free You're like, man, I it's finally out there. Oh, what a relief. I mean, this thing, this wrongdoing no longer defines me. It no longer owns me. It's not holding me back anymore. And now I finally feel like I can go get some help. Right? If there's that thing that's holding you back or that you're struggling with behind closed doors that you're not telling anybody, it's hard to get help for that, right? You can't go get help for that because then that will expose you. But once you get it out there, you can finally be set free and do the things that you need to do. And that's the difficult part. And I'm sure that, again, in a group this size, I'm sure there's people that are thinking, well, that's great, but I don't really have to do that because all I really have to do is confess to God. So I'm just going to stick with that. And if that's you, man, I really want to encourage you to rethink that. Look at Scripture and begin to confess to people as well because it truly brings healing. Maybe some of you are still trapped in a specific sin or wrongdoing and you're really struggling with it and you kind of keep circling the wagon with it and you're praying and you're asking God for healing and you pray and you mess up and then you pray and you mess up. And maybe the reason that you're never going to that next level and getting traction with that is because you haven't confessed it to people, to God's people. You've not approached someone that's and said, you know what, I need you to help me with this. You see, because we need the church. We need each other. We need to do life together, encourage each other. So you confess to people and say, yo, here's my struggle, and I need your help. I need you to help hold me accountable in this situation. I need you to pray for me in this situation. I need you to just to check in on me and make sure that I'm not falling back to the old ways. And when I do, and if I do, I need you there to pick me back up. And to encourage me and to love on me. I need your help. You see, we confess to God for forgiveness. And we confess to people for healing. You see, none of us are perfect. We all have flaws. We all have failures. I don't care how young or old you are, how long you've been in church or how long you haven't been in church, how long you've been a Christ follower or whatever. We're all flawed. We all are going to make some stupid decisions. And when we do, we have a choice to make. Will you conceal it or confess it? Whoever conceals does not prosper. I don't want to be in that camp. But whoever confesses finds mercy. That's what I want. I want mercy, forgiveness, grace. I want to be forgiven. So I'm going to confess to God for forgiveness. I want to be healed, set free, mask removed, burden lifted. So I'll confess to people for healing. No more masks. Not a single one. And it's terrifying. I know, it is, but no more masks. Be set free. Choose the right one so that you can receive God's mercy and be healed. Let's pray. God, once again, we're so incredibly thankful for the fact that you offer mercy and forgiveness and that your love is unending. That no matter what we do or no matter how far we run and try to hide or how many masks we throw up, we can never outrun your love. We can never hide from it. Never be removed. I'm so thankful for that. God, and may we recognize that and realize that as people, as your followers, God, as your church, And instead of putting in all the work and all the time and all the effort to put up these different masks and try to conceal it and all the different lies that have to come with that and all the strategies and the plans, God, may we just stop all that mess. Just confess. God, give us the boldness and the courage to do that. God, may we as a church receive that type of confession. May we create that type of environment where people are free and feel safe to remove that mask and bring the real them. And may we love people as they do that, not condemn them, not judge them, not point the finger, not talk bad about them behind their backs and say, oh, we're just praying for them and sharing with everyone everything that they did. May we not be that. May we be a loving group of your followers that embrace those who confess, and that we ourselves would drop our masks, quit acting like we got everything together, and confess. And may we be healed as a result and receive your mercy and reach more people and do more good things in our city and community. God, may we be that church. May we be those people. As we continue in a spirit of prayer, maybe you're here this morning and that all sounds well and good, but for you, you've never truly confessed for the first time and come to know Christ as your Savior. You've never stepped over that line of faith. Maybe you've been going to church for a while, or you believe in God, but you've never really immersed yourself into a life with Christ, connected to Him. And if that's you and you're here this morning and you say, you know, today's the day I'm ready to give my life to Christ, I'm ready to step over that line of faith and give Him my all, to ask Him to be your Savior, to stop chasing everything else and say, God, it's you. And if that's you this morning, Scripture says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the grave, that you'll be saved. See, it's about confessing and believing in the complete and finished work of Jesus. See, God loved you so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross for you so that you could be made right, so that you could receive that mercy and that grace and that forgiveness. Because on our own, we're gonna fall on our face every single time. On our own, there's no hope. There's not. I know a lot of great people that do a lot of great things and they don't know Christ, and therefore they can't do it on their own, and they need Jesus. So if that's you this morning, just give your life to Him. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And all you need to do is just confess and believe. You call out to God however He leads and say, God, I believe you are who you say you are. I believe that you sent your Son Jesus to die for me, shed His blood for me. I believe that and I claim that truth. So God, forgive me. Be my Savior. You just call out to Him how He leads. You confess and you believe. It's about the heart. It's not about slick words. It's not about doing anything. It's nothing that we can do to receive it. You just confess and believe. And if you're here this morning and you need that, but you're not ready to step over that line of faith, that's cool. Just keep coming to Life Point. We love you. We want you to be here. We want you to hang with us, and we want you to serve with us. Man, we want you to be a part of this thing. In the process, I pray that God will radically change your heart. But maybe you're here this morning, you are a Christ follower, and you've got so many masks on, you're covering up so many sins, you're wore out, you're exhausted, you don't even know who you are anymore. Be free. Drop the mask. Sure, it may be scary initially. Yeah, it might be painful. Yeah, it might stir up some things. But I promise you it's worth it. It's the only way you're going to move forward. Covering up one lie falls to another, to another, to another, to another, to another. It's a vicious cycle. So cut it out. Drop the mask and begin to confess. Confess to God for forgiveness and confess to people for healing. Whatever it is that God's speaking to you in this moment, you just do business with him. Jared's going to lead us in a song. You just spend time with God today. Whatever it is that he's leading, you just connect with him. Maybe you don't know what it is, just tell him that. Just let him know, God, I don't know what my next step is. Lead me in that. But you do business with him today.